There was some excitement in my neighborhood this morning because the mechanism on the recycling truck was malfunctioning and throwing people's trash cans like 20 feet in the air.
That sounds amazing.
It's the most fun I've ever had.
This is like a new Olympic event. Trash can.
I mean, after doing it once, why would they like
continue?
Just drive down the street and get the next one. Like, yeah, not my job.
He's going to complete that route.
Yeah. My job is to drive next to the trash. Yeah. Pick it up, and whatever happens after that is irrelevant.
Between that trash can and God.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right, everything happening here. We got school fully in session. Yeah, it's now September.
Back. We had Labor Day. Labor Day is come and gone.
Yeah, that's the official, not the official end, but it's the symbolic end of summer.
It is a symbolic end, yeah. Yeah, Sophia is all about reminding me that summer is still going because she has learned about like equinoxes and whatnot. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Cool. No.
Thank you.
September 20th.
They have all the power. Yeah.
Technically, September 22nd is the end of summer.
Yeah.
And in Texas, I still think we're in the summer of 2004. So, right.
Like, yeah. It never ended.
Yeah. Our motto is summer is always here. That's it.
All right. Let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Office retreat gone awry.
Oh, I heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
Worker rescued after allegedly left stranded on Colorado Mountain by colleagues.
Yeah. Not allegedly.
Yeah, he like absolutely was.
This has been proven at this point.
I will say I heard the story and immediately thought, staff bonding opportunity. We got
for everybody
this.
Yeah. But him. That's
yeah. Yeah, in your mind, you're like, who are we leaving up at the mountain?
No, in my mind, I was like, okay, where are we going? Where are we going to hike as a team? What are we going to do? Is this going to be great? Mm-mm. And yeah, that's...
Reader, it won't be.
Yeah, Elise, how do you feel about a staff bonding mountain hike?
I mean, apparently with a different staff, I think it could have worked, but...
Sure. I mean, you like hiking.
I love hiking.
You're iffy on staffs.
I went to school for this. Yeah, I don't like working with other people.
How do you feel about bonding? That's yeah. Okay, so one of three. That's, yeah,
it depends. They did so many things wrong in mm-hmm. my reading of the story.
Yeah,
I feel like a hike was a little ambitious for this group.
Yeah. So
I feel like step one in a hike is stay together. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, the least of
it
your...
It is. Like, you're only as fast as the slowest person in your group.
Yeah. Which is why I don't hike with slow people. But, right. Yeah.
So basically, here's the summary.
Okay.
15 hikers went up the mountain.
15. 14 came back.
Back down the mountain.
After a couple hours, basically, the majority of them are like, I think we're good. You know, we did it.
So they did not summit.
They did not summit. Okay. Like, we did good.
Yeah. Good job, team.
And they're like, we're gonna go back. And one employee was like... No. I want to make it to the summit.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
All right.
So he's going to summit alone.
And so, like, this is the trail, and they had, like, a marker to signify this is our trail. And the 14 who went back down.
They picked it up.
And took the marker with them.
Love it. Love that.
So we don't know if that was intentional or not.
Or just, hey, this is our thing. We should take it with us.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he went down.
I prefer
down,
to assume it was intentional.
He went down, he got up to the summit, went down the wrong trail coming back, and was it up on the other side of the mountain. And
that's not
through
good.
Some texts and like some dropped pins, you know, they finally got rescue workers out there to get him. So.
But it took like several helicopters and a couple days. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah, because a storm did pass through.
Yeah. That is going to be a rough staff meeting the next time you walk into that office and you're like,
you left me on the mountain?
What's going on, guys?
Yeah. Well, they didn't realize until later that he just never popped back up, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they like at dinner or something that night and like, where was
Yeah. You know, what do you think? Intentional? This guy microwaves fish.
That's possible. I hate to assume a malice, but it does feel malicious.
Right. Or it could be like, you know, Parks and Rec, like Jerry Gergich. Like, they're like,
sure.
Was Jerry with us? I don't know.
I don't even know. Right. Was he here?
Sure.
No. Sure.
He definitely would have left Jerry up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
What office faux pas
Careful.
would you want? Yeah. What office worker would we
who
live
are you
up
leaving?
There? What office faux pas are you saying? Like, that's worthy of being stranded on a on a mountain by
themselves. Oh, man. Hafaspopa worthy of stranded on a mountain. I mean, microwaving fish is real bad. That's high on the list, to be sure.
Smell is high up there.
Yeah.
High.
Noxious smells.
Perfumey smells. Mm-hmm. Not interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Beyond that, I think I can tolerate a lot. So I don't know. Leaving someone on a mountain seems extreme. Like, I feel like there are courses of action, including firing, that could come before you have to strand them on the mountain. Yeah.
What if they're clipping their toenails at their desk?
That's
the privacy of their own desk.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Leave them on the mountain is all I'm saying. If you're clipping your toenails at work, I mean, on the mountain.
I've never been in like an open office environment where like I can see and experience everything else that's happening with other people, right? Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of had like office of closed doors. If you're clipping your toenails in your office with a closed door, I'm not here to judge.
Whatever. Okay. If somebody's in that office with you, that's weird.
Yeah, weirder, but as long as it's not me, you know, it's fine.
So I have heard...
If you like come into my office and start clipping your toes while we're having a conversation, that's going
to
be a thing.
Counterpoint to this.
To clipping your toenails?
Yeah, I was just not thinking about this. I have heard that like the soft rule for this is you should only clip your toenails in places you're comfortable being naked. I don't know that I agree with this because I feel like I'm maybe more comfortable being naked in more places than I am clipping my toenails.
It seems like something we do not need to explore on this particular podcast.
But so counterpoint, maybe don't do it in the office.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay.
Personal phone call on speaker. How about that?
No, I can live with it. I mean, it's annoying, but I'm not going to leave you on a mountain for it.
Yeah, that's... Go ahead.
I want to know the details. Like, if it's a juicy personal phone call, sure, put that on speaker. Yeah. Crank it up, honey. We
want
to hear it.
I don't want one side. I want all sides. Yeah. Be able to comment on it. Yeah. Hits reply all. For things that don't pertain to all.
That's super annoying.
Okay. Whatever. I've gotten pretty good at ignoring emails at this point, so I can continue.
That's just glamour. That's not for me either.
Too much action on the group text.
Is it like not inappropriate, but is it like unnecessary action on the group
text? Most interaction on the group text is, you know.
I mean, but it could be like, okay, you're texting funny things, but it's just all the time. Like, and clearly you should be doing work or something like that instead of this. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, this is just unnecessary interaction on the group text. Yeah, again, I can delete you from a group text. I don't know. Just leaving on a mountain seems so extreme.
Like, it does, yeah.
None of these seem worthy of someone potentially dying. And that's the thing that can happen on a mountain, so.
Plus, like, the liability of that.
Right. are these 14 now like, you know, negligent in some factor?
He did report being very disoriented on descent and falling at least 20 times.
At least 20 times. Oh my gosh.
So at some point, just stay down.
Yeah.
Just slide.
Stay there, man. Just stay there.
And was able to regain cell service, and they were able to get him the next day.
There you go. It's all about the cell service. It was, we don't have mountains like that in Texas.
No.
I think you're definitely passing around a card after this. You know, like,
yeah.
Sorry, I left you on a mountain.
Right.
Does Hallmark make that?
What's the cake that you get for that? Yeah.
There better be money in that card, just saying.
Probably gift card.
That sounds right.
Chili's.
It's a $15 Starbucks gift card.
I was going to say, $15 sounds about right.
For leaving you on a mountain.
And a cake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully at least ice cream.
Is this company in any
an
way,
ice cream cake,
is this company in any way liable for this? Like, can he sue the company for like putting him on this or putting him in danger?
I just feel like it would be a good idea for them to just offer to cover any medical expenses has up front.
So,
I don't disagree
like,
that would be a good idea.
He chose to go up alone. Like, that would be the caveat.
That's true.
Is everyone was going back.
And we chose to take the marker with us.
Right.
I mean, I think they could say that's an accident. And I'm sure it probably was. Unless he macros fish.
So. Unless they really didn't like him. So.
Which I would say, like, yeah, I get it.
Okay, poor guy. I'm glad he's safe. That's going to be an interesting working environment for a while.
Yeah.
All right, our main topic from Christianity Today.
Ooh.
By Russell Moore.
Oh, we've talked to Russell before.
Have we?
We've talked about
talk to him about him.
Yeah.
Is this, do we always do that he's not married to Beth Moore?
Correct.
He's not.
That's
We don't think.
Our standing Russell Moore joke, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Russell Moore was head of the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics Committee.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And then was outed.
Because he held them
not outed, ousted because he was an anti-Trumper. He did not like Trump. Mm. And so they're like, no, we can't have this guy.
He held them accountable to ethics.
And so now he is the...
The ultimate crime.
He's the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, good for him. It seems like a That seems like a better job.
Is that a step up? I have no idea. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He did not list his salaries or, you know, his packages on either.
It does seem on the surface like a more interesting job than the ethics committee of the SBC. Yes. So,
I would rather work at Christianity Today than at the ethics committee of the SBC.
Although you get all the tea on the ethics committee, though.
Yeah, I'm not even sure you do, because they want to cover everything up. Yeah.
It's probably just really depressing.
And then you're like, we shouldn't do that. And they're like, yeah, but we're going to do it.
Yeah. But.
Because ethics.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right. So the when to respond to slander and when to ignore it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I'm left on a mountain after microwaving fish, does that count as slander? Do I? No, slander has to be verbal, right? That's
has to be verbal. And slander is also untrue, isn't it? Like an untrue statement.
I think that's in a legal situation that it's. Oh, that's libel.
Yeah.
Libel is in print.
Libels in print
and slander spoken, libels in print, and it have to be like untrue claims about you.
Yeah, but I think you can slander someone with true things. I think it's like I think in a legal situation, slander has to be untrue. Like if I'm suing you for slandering me,
it's because I've have made to untrue claims about you.
Right,
right.
Yeah. But if you're like just saying true things about me, and I feel like it's slander, like that's.
That's well, just
then
gossip.
You just yell on Twitter.
Right. Then right. That's what Twitter is for. Yes. X. Sorry, that's what X is for.
No, oh my gosh, it's never going to be X.
It's 100% Twitter. Like,
nobody calls it X.
Everybody calls it X, formerly known as Twitter. That's what people do.
That's not what everybody calls it.
That's what news people do.
We still call it tweeting. Like,
yeah, because Xing sounds really inappropriate. Yeah. Xing sounds like something you shouldn't do while you're clipping your toenails. That's
or in the office. Yeah.
Well, this was not on X. This was on Christian Today. Maybe he was on X. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, open up. Woman has a conflict. She's having with a fellow member of her church. Basically, this other woman is spreading falsehoods about her.
Ooh.
And she wrote to Russell Moore here
okay.
for advice. You seem to mostly ignore it when people lie about you, the woman said to me. Is that because it would be wrong for me to defend myself? Should I just ignore what they say about me?
I love the implication that you people are just lying left and right about this guy.
I mean, he definitely had some heat when he was...
He did, for
a minute.
Yeah, you know. But that's quite a way to open a letter. Yeah. Like, listen, you get lied about a lot.
It's a little backhanded, doesn't it?
I feel like you've got some insight.
All right, what do you think? Is it wrong for me to defend myself? Should I just ignore what they say about me? What do you think?
Mm. I mean, I think it's in all things, context is king, right? And so I think it's going to depend greatly on the situation and how that's going to unfold. I'll start with that. It's going to depend on the situation.
I'm pretty sure nobody is thinking about me enough to like invent lies and falsehoods about me in a social context. So like,
I'm not afraid of the lies. I'm afraid of the truth about me.
Right. Like, that's the scary part. Just don't talk about me.
Yeah. I mean, even if I'm imagining this is where Russell is going to go with this, right? If we look at the biblical witness, I think the biblical witness on this is going to be not one-sided, right? It's going to be contextual. And, you know, I can think of times when Jesus definitely tells us to turn the other cheek or himself ignores things that are being said about him. And I can definitely think about times when Jesus called Herod a fox, right? And that was not a nice thing to call people.
Oh,
even
a fox.
Though, well, it was a bigger deal back then, right?
Maybe Herod
like
was...
Burned. Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen, burns from 2,000 years ago don't always make sense in our context, all right?
Right now, you've just said, like... You know, she's a fox. That would be a compliment.
My, how the tables have turned.
Yeah.
maybe it was back then. Maybe Aaron was just a very attractive man.
Right.
You tell that fox for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been reading that passage all wrong this whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, there's going to be some context, and we're going to get into that here in a second. And I think also we need to maybe put this into kind of two categories, right?
Okay.
Like, because there's like, okay, slander about myself.
Yes.
You see something about yourself. What do you do?
Yeah.
But there's also like you're scrolling through your social media of choice.
Yep.
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, I never said mm-hmm. Not. Mm-hmm. It's actually X.
We all got it. Yeah.
Facebook, whatever.
Sure.
And there's going to be lies said on those things.
So,
things that you're like, that's
so
a
many.
Lie.
Yes.
And then you have to think like, do I want...
Is this worth it?
...to get into this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Have any of us experienced this phenomenon of scrolling the internet and people are saying just lies about you in a public forum?
Well, not about me, but I mean, like, lies about, you know, politics, about the Bible, things like that.
Okay, other people.
So it's just like, it's not necessarily about me. Yeah.
I was like, wow. Y'all are really popular.
Come work in a church, Elise. Yeah. It gets all sorts of interesting.
So, because I think, like, what do I do when there's slander about myself? And also, what do I do when I'm like, there's a lie right in front of me?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Or in a Bible study, in a work meeting, hiking up the mountain, and somebody says something that you're like, that's a lie. Like, that's just not true.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know?
Yeah, I will say in a face-to-face conversation, I'm much more likely to engage and call out a lie for what it is, right?
Yeah.
Or at least to say, like, how did you come to that conclusion? And try to understand where that's coming from. I have, in my limited experience, discovered that social media is a completely ineffectual place to try to engage that conversation. And so I typically do nothing. And whether that's right or wrong, that has been the path that I take on social media, is just to keep scrolling and ignore it.
Yeah. You know, I think in terms of like politics and stuff, it's just like, I'm not going to engage with that. Like, that's, everybody has their own formed opinions at the point that they're like posting about it on social media, right? So that it's going to be totally ineffectual for you to be like, oh, well, that's not true. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I think, you know, in conversations with people, there are good ways to maintain your integrity and remain in that conversation with that person, right? Like, it doesn't always have to be a combative, like, well, that's not true, and, you know, here's why. You know, a lot of times people come to conclusions in good faith, right? They're not trying to, you know, have the crappy opinion just for the sake of having the crappy opinion. You know, they've come there because of things that were presented to them as facts or whatever, you know? So, like, you know, holding space for them to have that opinion and be like, oh, well, you know, I don't really see it that way, and, you know, here's why, can be, like, a fine way to go, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's the difference between, right, pointing to facts that are or information that's been presented as fact that is incorrect, right?
Yeah.
And being able to say, like, this is why that information is wrong, versus saying, like, you are intentionally lying about this, right? That's a very different way of addressing a particular conflict with someone.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I stumbled on this on Facebook, this article, because Christianity posts them. And I clicked on the comments, and the first comment was a lie about politics. You know? And I was like, again, like, what an amazing example right away. Thank you, stranger, for giving us, like, do we correct this person or just move on?
Yeah.
You know, like, on the post about, like, should you respond or not? You know, that's amazing stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I do not believe it was done intentionally.
Yeah. They were not trying to be the example.
All right. So first, Mr. Russell Moore will say, I think about what it means to ignore. You know, ignoring sounds passive, but it's not. You know, to truly ignore, you have to fully know and then choose not to respond, right? Mm-hmm. So ignoring is not a passive action, but it's going to be, you know, an assertive action. Like, I'm choosing not to respond. Like, so.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. I wouldn't use the word ignore, but that's fine. That's semantics. That's not a problem. Yeah.
Well, I guess, like, I know they're saying that, and I'm choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, right? I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so responding to biblical slander or citing slander in a biblical way is complicated. You know, it's more complicated than, should I steal? No. Yeah.
Note to self.
Yeah. Yeah. Should I murder? No. You know, like,
not usually.
These are,
again, there's exceptions to everything. Yeah. Right? Well, like,
you know, usually no. Right. Like, yeah. Here we go, from Proverbs.
Okay.
Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. So what do we got here? What do we think this means?
Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest
you be like him yourself.
Okay. So don't bother engaging a fool because you're going to be a fool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't fight stupid with stupid.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Is that the modern proverb? No.
But then the next verse is basically, what fight stupid with stupid.
Yeah.
What's the thing about, like, don't ever engage with stupid people because they'll drag you down their level and beat you with experience? I think that's what this is getting at.
For sure. Yeah, don't play chess with a pigeon. It knocks over all the pieces, poops on the board, and struts about like it won. Right? Like okay. Like, that's what
this
is.
That was elaborate.
Chaos.
It's a real roller coaster.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's like, you know, dumb people gonna dumb.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do about
yeah.
it? Yeah. Right?
They're, Folly's gonna folly.
Folly gonna folly. But yeah, and the exact next verse is, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Hmm.
That's a toughie.
All right, so read the first one again for me.
Answer not a fool according to his folly.
Okay, so it's according to his folly both times. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks, Proverbs.
You're right.
Like in all things, Proverbs is coming up for the win. That's yeah. very useful. Yeah.
All right, what does this one mean at the very least? Let's at least define both, you know?
I mean, this one would say, yeah, you've got to engage. You can't just let this person think they're right if they're yeah. clearly wrong, right? You've got to engage and set the record straight and, yeah, hopefully, I would say, lead them out of their folly. I think there's a level of, like, how can you do both of these things, right? I mean, because there's one sense in which you're engaging with the fool. So there's one sense in which you're engaging with the fool, and you lower yourself to their level, right? And that I think is what the proverb is initially telling us not to do. And there's another sense in which you can engage with the fool by remaining unfoolish yourself, right? By not engaging in whatever foolish behavior they have engaged in, but also not allowing them to continue to speak foolishness, right? And I think there's a way to do that, which is also important and helpful. And the thing to navigate is how to do that and when to do that, right? I don't think there's ever a time. We shouldn't let someone else's sin cause us to sin, right? But that doesn't mean that we should just ignore someone else's sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sin might not be the exact right word, but yeah.
One of the things that my dad always used to tell me is that one of the most powerful things you can do when somebody is trying to get you to engage in like a fight or in something stupid is just to not give your energy to it. Just like not respond.
I like the pigeon hanging. Thing better. Can we, can your dad work a pigeon into this metaphor for me?
Don't, but yeah, no. Yeah. Who was the first person who tried to play chess with a pigeon? Like what?
I assume, you know, in New York, you play chess on the streets. And there's a lot of pigeons on the street.
Down, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a pigeon, you know, makes his way over the board.
Like, oh, are you up for a game?
Listen, old people get old, all right? I don't know.
I left my glasses at home.
I'm not sure it's based on, you know, real life.
The story of a pigeon and a chess match.
Russell will then go on to be like, when it comes to slander about himself, Jesus sometimes directly contradicts untruth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he responded by asking questions or telling stories that reveal underlying motives. Sometimes he simply ignores what is said about him altogether. Sometimes he ridicules the slander.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes he kind of does every possible way that you could do to respond to this, but there's not like, this is how you should respond to this, right?
I think there are patterns, though. Like, if we start to look, and we've talked about this before, right? When Jesus does ridicule, Jesus punches up, as we've referred to before, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he's ridiculing people in power, people in positions that should know better than doing what they're doing. He's not ridiculing this person on the street who's asking for help, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing. Like, where is the person who is slandering you in relation to society and yourself? And, you know, yeah, I just think it's contextual, and we can think about that, too.
Yeah.
I'll stop there for a moment.
I think you need to be real nervous when Jesus asks a question.
That's true.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe let's start into, like, so what should you do? You know, if you see a lie about yourself is out there, what is the Christian response? And we say it depends, but, like, well, what does it depend on? You know, what if you were giving this woman advice...
Yeah.
What advice are you going to give her?
Well, I would need a whole lot more information about this woman's situation, right?
Okay.
To know, because it is so contextual. But let's imagine that this woman and her, we'll call her the fool, right? The fool that is spreading slander about her. She and her fool are co-chairs of some committee in their church. Well, then she probably needs to address it, right? And probably needs to address it with either church leadership or other people from the committee and just call it out and say, it's not true. Like, you know, and I'm not understanding why this is happening. And I think, you know, we can come at it from a perspective of, I want to improve this relationship, or I want to forward the ministry, right? And coming at it from that positive side, rather than just coming at this woman one-on-one and being like, you're shouting lies about me, so I'm going to shout in your face. Like, yeah. Don't fight foolish with foolish.
Sure.
But I do think I do think it's always okay to engage and call out a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's ever bad to call out a lie. I think there are times when Jesus just lets it go, and sometimes you'll see like, I'm just going to let that go. But I don't think it's ever bad to call out a lie. But don't let someone else's foolishness cause you to be foolish.
Yeah, I think that's if you can't respond without lowering yourself into blind rage,
sure,
or anger, retaliation, mm-hmm, revenge with, they said this about me, I need to say things about them to another,
yeah,
a new group of people,
yep,
or to kind of like fight fire with fire. Like if that's how you have to respond, it's probably better to not respond at all.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think that's not going to make the situation better. But if you can respond with honesty and in some ways, maybe even some vulnerability of like, this is what you said about me and this is what made me feel like, and with truth in there, I think that is much more I should respond, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
But it is complicated, right? Like, it's hard to say, when should you see a lie? When should you do something about it? What about like, if it's not like about you, you know, if it's just out there, if it's about another person, what should that look like?
Yeah. See, I think the stakes matter a lot in this whole conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's a question of just like, oh, somebody is saying something about me that's, you know, might be untrue, but it's really just like annoying, you know, like what, that's a different call for a response than somebody is saying something about somebody that's actively hurting other people, right?
Yeah.
Or it's hurting, you know, the reputation of an entire organization or, you know, whatever it may be. Like those are very different stakes. And I think that that should dictate like what your response is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm always going to be faster to jump in to defend someone, something else, mm-hmm, other than myself than,
yeah,
to defend myself. I don't know that that's right, but I think that's just going to be my tendency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And especially when that person, whether by the fool,
mm-hmm,
sees them as lower socially or lower, whatever would be, you know, they're in a lower system.
Yeah.
That's definitely like we need to step in there and kind of defend somebody who is on a lower social,
yeah,
platform, whatever that may be, you know, in sort of different contexts. It might be man, woman, gay or straight, black or white, you know,
mm-hmm,
like those,
mm-hmm,
all could be the lower platform in different situations. You want to make sure that's not happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think when it's a lie about someone else, you should probably more quickly shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you,
yeah,
know, like let's not engage with this and let's not allow this to kind of fester. Yeah. Yeah. Tough stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to ignore it when people are saying lies about you, right?
Like, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to look past or to not respond in kind or to not get angry about. But yeah. I think whatever we can do. There are times when Jesus gets angry, but Jesus doesn't seem to ever get angry because people are saying things about him, right? He seems to get angry because there are larger injustices happening in the world where other people are affected. And it's hard to allow people to say things about you without responding in anger. And I think that is, if we're going to set like, here's the biblical standard, I think the biblical standard is not to respond in anger.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's ultimately the kind of advice that Russell gives towards the end here.
I could be on the SBC ethics committee. Look at me go.
I don't know if you could.
No, you couldn't.
That's probably
true. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, basically, when someone...
Just to be clear, not because I'm unethical, right? Like, that's...
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, right, that's what I was saying, but...
Oh.
Yeah. No. When someone's lying about you, lean in the direction of ignoring it.
Yeah.
Unless you cannot do that.
Yeah.
If someone's lying about somebody else, do the reverse.
Yeah.
You know, so... I think I definitely kind of agree with this one. I think that that's ultimately what you have to do. And I think the goal of a Christian should be to live in such a way that if somebody does hear lies about you, they're like, that doesn't sound accurate.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
that just does not sound like the person that I know,
mm-hmm,
and that I've encountered, and that I'm friends with or familiar with. Like, so that they are leaning into the direction of correcting lies,
yeah,
on your behalf, mm-hmm, just like you would do on theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're living in a way where they hear this lie and they're like, yeah, that sounds right. Like,
yeah. Maybe some self-searching would be,
right,
in order.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. But you know, we all want the tea. We all want, you know, the gossip. So it's,
sure,
hard. You know, that's one of the things that's easy for us to kind of fall into. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we know why the tea? Do we know why that's a thing?
Why is it called the tea?
Yeah.
You spill the tea.
That's a great question.
Spill the, is it spill the tea?
Yeah.
Why not the, why not the coffee?
I don't know.
Well, is it British? Because I'm going to refuse to use the saying if it is.
Oh, he's got it. Hold on. He's got it pulled up.
I mean, it means gossip. I got that. Okay. I just don't know how
it's gossip. Get there? Yeah,
yeah, like give me the
origin.
Oh, yeah.
The origin story.
I'll spell the T origin. Here we go.
Welcome to our other podcast, Beyond the Dictionary.
From Black Drag Culture.
Okay.
There you go. What? From what?
It's surprising to me that you weren't familiar with
its origin is traced back to Black Drag Culture, but I still don't necessarily know if like I...
Does Black Drag Culture mean what I think it means? Like that's not a... That's actually like...
Yeah, like drag queens. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Just making sure that I was not like missing something else. This.
Do you know what a drag queen is?
I do.
Okay. It's a good start.
Sure. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly. It doesn't tell us like this is like how it connects, you know. Like,
that's fine. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know,
doesn't connect the dots for us.
We didn't get that. Yeah. There you go. Black drag culture. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Black Drag Culture, for giving us the tea.
I love that. Yeah.
And thanks for the tea in the space.
Russell will end kind of the statement. So, like, you know what? We can always rely on like God knows the truth about us.
Ooh.
Like that. Mm. The reality is like when other people lie about us, God knows. When
we lie God about knows other people, that the truth is way worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Say, tip of the iceberg.
If you only knew.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Is that supposed to be comforting? Yeah.
I guess, you know, God knows everything and still, you know, speaks highly of us.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Yeah. You know?
We'll take it.
Yeah. You know, it still calls us children of God.
He does do that.
So we can take that. Yeah.
Thanks, God.
Yeah.
God does not spill the tea.
That we know of. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows what's going on in heaven?
Yeah, man, that's all
God
heaven
and
is.
The angel. Like, have you heard of this person?
That's right.
Leave them on the mountaintop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, when Jesus was up on the Transfiguration, they think they left Peter. They're like, yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, yeah. We'll catch
leave
up.
Leave him on the mountaintop.
Yeah. I don't know. Peter did not write a gospel, so we don't know his perspective of that story. But yeah. None of the other authors tell the story of Peter being left on the mountain. So
maybe none of them wrote a gospel, to be honest.
I mean, people wrote gospels. Yeah, I wasn't
none
saying
of those it was people.
No, yeah, but I'm just saying the people who wrote the gospels did not give us Peter's perspective.
That is fair.
That's what I was saying. All right, well, I think we've gone enough on that. If you have any slander you'd like to spread about us, you can send that directly to our email.
If you've got any tea, let us know.
Yeah,
right. Hot gossip.
BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, you can find all our episodes at BeyondSundayPodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.